Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shift podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome.
Well, hello, and welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. I'm your host, Christina Castanini. And I really get excited to do each and every one of my shows. And I get especially excited to do shows like today because I have somebody with me who is going to help inspire you because she's going to talk about her story. She's going to talk about something that is going to help break that myth out there that you can't get over an eating disorder. And I think it's important for people to hear others besides me talk about how they got past their struggles. And so when I have a guest on here who can also demystify that and give you all the hope that yes, you too can get into recovery, you too can stop struggling with food and body image, I get really just so excited to have those kind of shows because that's my whole point here is to instill that hope and to bring on people who've also gone to the other side. Because if you're sitting at home struggling, I know it can be hard sometimes. You know, you're probably wondering, gosh, is this ever going to end? Is it possible? Oh yeah, that's other people who can get past that, but not me. But I really want you to get inspired. I really want you to hear other people and know it's possible. And I'm not going to spend too much time introducing the rest of the show. I actually just want to introduce her and get into the show and start talking. So over the course of 6 years, Andrea Montoya earned her master's in holistic nutrition, competed in fitness competitions, became a health coach, and worked as a personal trainer, hoping one of these avenues would be the solution to what seemed like an endless vicious cycle of yo-yo dieting and binge eating. However, it wasn't until she began working on the internal and learning coping strategies and self-soothing tools for dealing with emotions that she finally achieved the freedom she had been seeking. What was that freedom? Freedom from food, body, mind, and self. In addition to earning her body image and self-love coaching certification, Andrea has been working side by side with Tony Robbins' personal trainer, Billy Beck III, which has taught her the science and evidence-based tools behind exercise and the psychology of nutrition. She now has the privilege of using what she's learned to coach amazing women through her Ditch the Scale Academy, helping them fully transform their lives at a deeper level by letting go of their past stories and beliefs and stepping into their power, unleashing their ultimate feminine potential. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, you know, I'm really excited because I know we have a lot in common just in regard to our own struggles with food and body image and coming off the other side. And I know my listeners really, it's great to have other people who've been through this struggle, not just hearing me as this person who's the expert, as the host, saying, hey, you can get over this and get through it. So I'm just excited to hear your story and, you know, how you went through your struggles and kind of got to where you're at now. So would you mind sharing a little bit about you and your story?
Yes, of course, of course. So, okay. So pretty much a little bit about my story and my background. When I was in high school and college, I dealt with bulimia, with eating disorders, with a lot of binge eating, and so it would kind of cycle where I would restrict a lot, almost kind of on the verge of like an anorexia, just do really crazy diets, restrict. And then I would, you know, go crazy because I restricted so much. So then I would overeat, and then that overeating then led into like, okay, I have to get rid of this food now. And so it was a site. And then I would overeat so much and, you know, it would either go to the gym for hours right after, which is something that I think a lot of people don't recognize with like bulimia and stuff like that, is like, we think that you have to you know, it's just eating a lot and then like purging. Right. Sometimes it doesn't always look like that. Some people use laxatives to purge, right? Some people use working out for 2-3 hours, going to the gym because you felt bad from what you ate before. And so I was doing all those things. And then it would lead back into restriction, dieting, all those things. And so you know, it all led from you know, when I was in high school, I tried doing bikini competitions. I tried doing, I was doing some modeling and some different things. And there was just so much pressure to look a certain way. There was so much pressure and so much of that. I had such a belief of like, well, if I don't look a certain way, I'll lose love, right? I won't be lovable. I won't be worthy. I won't be enough. My boyfriend's going to cheat on me. My, you know, the, so many things from childhood, even I picked that up. And so, I went to college, and in college it got really, really bad because I was away from family. I was on my own. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at my worst. I would go to Walmart in my dorm, right next to my dorm was a Walmart that I could literally walk to and buy food. Mm-hmm. And I would walk to the Walmart, buy the food, and then go home, eat whatever. And then I would there was so much anxiety, so many different things. And so I would go back to the Walmart and I would feel bad about even what the cashier would think about me, right? Like I was like, oh my God, the cashier is probably judging me. And so it wasn't even so much about the money. It was just like, I didn't want to be judged. There was so much fear of judgment that I would literally I got to a point where I was stealing the food. And I was like, this is a whole nother level. Like now it's like a drug addict and food is my drug. Right. And so I was like, I need help. At that point, I was like, I need some help. I need to figure this out. So I finally spoke to my mom, came clean about it. I'll never forget that day. There was the fact that I saw how much I spoke to my mom and my siblings. And when I saw how much my struggles were affecting them, like it wasn't just me. I could hurt myself all day, right? Most of us can hurt ourselves all day. But when I saw how it was affecting them, I was like, okay, I have to do something about this. Right. So I moved back home.
Can I ask you, like, when you went to tell them, when you say you saw how much it was hurting them, like what was their reaction? Did they even have a sense or a clue, or like, what did they say to you? What was going on there?
It was more like, I mean, I just remember the reaction. We were at this restaurant here in Florida. It's called Pollo Tropical. It's like the most Hispanic place ever. And we were sitting on this little bench and it was, and I'll never forget. It was just, they were just bawling. Like they were like, I can't, you know, I don't think they could understand what I was going through. I can't, now that that's a really good question. I don't think that they fully understood, but I think they could see just in within me, like the struggle that I was going through. Every time that I would come home, I was either like they didn't know what to expect. I would come home from college and I was either 30 pounds heavier, or I would come back and I was 30 pounds lighter, 40, 50. Like it would range so much that they could tell that there was something going on with like body image, food, all those things. There were some serious struggles there. So I just remember it hurting them. So I just remember them like crying and, you know, just feeling really bad for me. So I decided to come home.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was controlling every aspect of my life. Like I was failing school because there was food took up so much rental space. I was pretty deep in my eating disorder. Like I deal with women now that, you know, deal with emotional eating, binge eating, and feel like they can't get over it. I'm like, I was so deep into it. And if it was possible for me, I feel like it would, you know, it's possible for so many. Cause I did when I came home, I went to rehab for a little bit. Okay. I started working with a nutritionist, with a psychologist, with a psychiatrist. I was on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication. I was on, you know, there was points with like, yeah, I'm like very early into this episode. Am I getting real dark? But like my suicidal thoughts, all of it.
Totally common,
so,
yeah.
So I came back home, worked with all the specialists, all the things, and I was getting better, but still there was still even, and so I even decided, so I was 3 years into an engineering degree. When I came home, I had one more year to go in biomedical engineering. And I decided I was quitting everything and I was going for nutrition because I needed to figure out what was going on with me. And I needed to figure out, you know, how to help other women as well. And so I left everything. And I ended up doing like 7-8 years of school because none of the credits from engineering transferred over to nutrition. But I went into nutrition and then even then, like, I became a nutritionist and I knew all the things. Like I knew the body and, you know, digestion and stuff, but I still couldn't control myself around food. And so I was trying to control and manipulate my food more, but it wasn't working. So I was a nutritionist. I would go give people meal plans and then I would come home and binge.
What a good point. Like, you know the knowledge. And I think that's the thing, is knowing something doesn't mean that you don't still have an illness or that you're still not struggling with an eating disorder, because they're two separate things.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. A lot of us tend to just kind of accumulate knowledge, right? But that doesn't, but then we know what we should be doing, but we don't know why we're not doing the thing. So then that's exactly what I was doing. I was just accumulating knowledge. So then, okay, I was a nutritionist. I knew what I was doing. And then I was like, man, I'm the worst nutritionist ever. How do I tell people what to do? And then I'm not doing it myself, right? I'm coming home. And so get imposter syndrome, all the things. I became a personal trainer. And then that was worse. Cause I was like, maybe I can work out more, work out better. So I became a personal trainer. And that also, and it's even more of a pressure, like your personal trainer, you're supposed to look a certain way as well. Right. I guess that's the way my brain registered it. So it was more pressure, more stuff. And so I would take one step forward and then two steps back kind of thing. And I became a health coach because I was like, okay, maybe I have to be a health coach and look at it from like a health perspective and not like a calorie perspective or anything like that. None of that stuff really worked until I finally started doing more of the internal work. Right? Like dealing with my emotions and dealing with the psychology. And it has shifted everything for me from there. I became food and body image certified. I did self-love certifications, and that was everything. That shift, like, I can't even tell you, I never in a million years did I think that I would be where I am today. I never thought there was even not just with food, but on like a personal level, like even just my personality. Like I never thought I was always like this shy girl and very, like, I never thought I'd be doing podcasts. I never thought I'd have like a, I don't know, Instagram platform or anything like that, sharing my opinion and expressing myself and all those things. I was like, no, that's not who I am, you know? And so doing all the internal work just allowed me to shift on a completely different level. Yeah. And so that's where I am today. So from there, I started my academy and I did all those things, but yeah.
But it's so interesting. I hear that so many times, people want to go into nutrition or personal training or all of what you just talked about. And I think part of that's actually the eating disorder. Like, okay, if I can understand it and do this, or maybe I can hide it by being in this profession or field, because then it's like, it's okay. It's almost justifying what you're doing. Like, well, I know everything and this is me doing this perfectly or right.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that you said that. It's almost hiding the eating disorder. I feel like that's exactly what I was doing. You know, let me just lose more weight so you can't tell. Let me control and manipulate my exercise more, control and manipulate my food more. But it was just still this, like, the eating disorder, all or nothing mentality, like perfectionism, all these different things were still going into it, just still feeling unworthy, feeling like I wasn't enough unless I got another certification, unless I understood it more, you know? Yeah.
I'm wondering too, like when you were a personal trainer, was it almost like a justification? Like, oh, I have to work out this much, or I have to do this or look this way because of, you know, like you said, my profession, I have to, you know, for my clients. And really that's the eating disorder kind of propelling you instead of like actually that being the real thing.
So I could totally see that. And I could see how that 100% would happen to someone. I will say probably not for me, only because I've always enjoyed exercise so much. So even And when I became a personal trainer and I was doing more of those things, I had let go of, I wasn't purging anymore. I was still binging. So even after I became a nutritionist, there was one day, I can't even remember exactly, but I just said, like, when I was back home, I just said, there's no more purge. Like, this is, I just remember, I don't know if I read something about, like, just the negative things that happen to your body. And I'm not sure if it, like, because I remember just even at that, like, I was starting to meet my husband and all these things. And I was, you know, I wanted to plan for a baby in the future and just seeing how it affected my body. And I remember it saying, like, your teeth get yellow and your whatever. And I was like, oh my God, this is so bad for me. What am I doing? You know? And I just remember one day I was like, I am never, ever purging again. I'm never. And I never really continued to use exercise in that way. Like, I used it to lose weight, obviously, but I always really, really enjoyed it. So I wouldn't say that, you know, for me, but I could tell, I can totally 100% see how that's a justification for people. Yeah. Now I have to do this. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this transition over to doing different type of work and getting, you know, different certifications and going into different things. Can you describe that a little bit? You mentioned a few things. So I'm just curious what all those were.
Yeah. So it all started with Tony Robbins, who I now still, I started more doing the deeper work with Tony's, looking behind, like, the psychology, the mindset piece of it. And that was really powerful. I now still, I work with Tony now, and partnered with his personal trainer. And we do all of the workouts and nutrition for Tony's Platinum Partners. It's a special group of people that he has that, anyway, go to other special plat events or whatever. So I still do that. But Tony's work really, really helped me starting out. And then from there, I went into, because I was more of, like, the psychology and the mindset piece. But then I went into more of the emotional and self-love piece with the different certification that I went through. Mm-hmm. And that definitely, like, if I was getting better with the mindset work, and then I tapped into the emotional work, and I was like, this is everything. It's emotional eating, and I'm just focusing on the eating. What about the emotions, right? Like, I was like, I didn't think of this.
Why?
Yeah, but it was there all along. So as soon as I started realizing, that's you know, whenever, for example, what happens when we normally binge, right? It's like there's this anxiety, there's this overwhelm, there's whatever might be coming up, and then we don't know how to handle these emotions. We've never been taught how to handle these things. Mm-hmm. We're just told, like, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to just stuff it down. Just numb, you know, so we just numb with food. But again, and so we try to control the food more and diet more and willpower and force more. But when we actually look at the root, it's so much of the emotional piece that we just don't know how to deal with, right? We've never been taught how to process these things. So we just numb them. So looking at that emotional piece was everything for me, for sure.
You know, it's interesting because when you were saying, you know, you used to be so quiet and didn't speak up, you can imagine that you probably, you know, were stuffing out all your feelings down or stuffing all of your words down and didn't feel like you could speak up. And you were just stuffing all your words down too, right? Like stuffing yourself down. And so that big transformation, I could imagine when all of that was set free, now it's, you're finally coming out. You don't feel
exactly
like you can hide, right?
Exactly. It's that of, like, we suppress our desires, we suppress our expression, we suppress. And so it's like you're stuffing all those things. You feel like, well, I won't be loved if I speak up, or, and I can say, even, you know, a lot of this from childhood where we're, like, building up our belief systems and all these things. It was just, I picked up that, you know, I have to be quiet in order to be loved. I have to just kind of sit there and look pretty. All these different things. And so it took kind of rewiring that subconscious, rewiring, knowing that I'm allowed to speak up, right? I'm worthy of it. I'm enough. And so that's really powerful. And it shifts every area of your life, not just food, for sure.
And the anxiety that comes up, I would imagine, through that whole process and dealing with it and tolerating it and not engaging in the eating disorder, not engaging in the binging and numbing out. And it's like, how was that process for you to not engage in it while you were tolerating all the emotions and feelings that came up?
So it was a little bit of a roller coaster for sure, especially starting off. It's like you start to, you take two steps forward and one step back kind of thing. There was a moment where I would have a huge win and I wouldn't turn towards the food, and I was able to kind of sit with my emotions. Cause I always say it's not so much, a lot of clients come to me and they're like, well, you know, I just don't have the willpower, you know? I'm like, it's not so much about willpower as it is about expanding our capacity to feel. Right now, I feel this much anxiety and I can't deal with it. I need to numb it. And so I turn to food. But if I expand that and I'm able to sit with my emotion, I'm able to process it, I'm able to heal whatever's coming up, I'm able to actually open up communication with my body and see, okay, what is my body trying to tell me with this, right? Because all these emotions, all these sensations, it's our body communicating to us. It's our body trying to tell us like, hey, slow down. But instead of slowing down, we're like, I'm going to stuff it down and keep going and keep going and keep going, right? So I would have these huge wins where I was like, okay, I'm able to kind of sit with it, feel through it. And I would say like, this works. Like I don't have to turn to food when I actually give myself what I need, because started realizing it's never the food that I want. I'm not actually hungry. It's not food. It's the feeling that I think that food is going to give me. So if I'm able to recognize that, connect with myself and give myself that, now, you know, I don't need the food anymore, right? I can heal what's coming up. I can give myself what I need. And a lot of that came into like some certain times is that feeling of I was needing safety. I was needing love. I was needing connection. And so finally understanding, how do I give myself love? How can I connect with myself? How can I give myself that sense of security and safety is just so powerful. And so I would have these huge wins where I would do it and I was like, yeah, this is amazing. And then there was times where like the emotions were too overwhelming or whatever, and I would binge. But again, with everything, I think that the biggest thing for me was understanding that I needed to infuse compassion and curiosity into all of it. The more I would shame and guilt myself, the more I would be in this cycle. It would just continue to put me in this cycle of like, okay, I was feeling bad, so then I ate, and then I shamed, and there was shame and guilt around it, and so then I ate some more, and then it, you know, it's like this never-ending cycle. Where when I was able to actually infuse compassion, curiosity into it, it would kind of break that cycle for me, and I was like, okay, awesome, you know, I'm learning from this piece, and it's happened for me. I'm learning, I'm growing, and then I would take it from there. Yeah. But it was definitely a whole roller coaster. But the more that I was able to, you know, feel into things, process them, I always say feel in order to heal. The more that I was actually able to become in touch with my emotions, feel them and all those things, then I was able to, the more that became like the new normal. Right.
And I love that you say that, the self-compassion, because I think that's so lacking, right? To your point of like, I think it's the diet mentality. Like I lack the willpower. I just need to do it better. I need to do it perfect. And even with trying to recover from this, right, and do it differently, oh gosh, I binged again. And it's just the beating of oneself up. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. What did I do? And that actually, like your point, it propels it and makes it worse rather than saying, well, of course I was going to binge. I think I did, you know, I've been doing this for so long. And learning from it and healing from it rather than continuing the whole process of just being so mean to yourself.
Exactly. And that's huge that you said that. It's like, we've been doing this for years and years and years. So it's like, but then we expect, I have clients too that, you know, they're a month into it and they're like, oh, I've been, you know, I did three weeks. I was doing so good. And then I binged and I'm like, no, that's perfect. That's to be expected. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. So that now we can, you know, again, now with different awareness and different and infusing the curiosity and okay, what was this trigger? What do I need to heal here? What I always say, every single trigger comes with an invitation, right? Like we wouldn't be triggered if there wasn't something to heal there. So every time we're triggered, it's this beautiful opportunity for us to look inside and heal that. Right. And so it's all, I always say it's all happening for us and it's all there for us to learn and grow. But when we infuse that compassion, when we infuse the curiosity, letting go of like the expectations of the ego. I feel like our ego is like, I need to, you know, it needs to be by this date, I need to heal, or by this, it's a 3-month program. So by the 3 months, like I should not be binging again. It's understanding that, you know, where it's a process. our body needs some time to heal. So yeah.
But I love that. It's just, it sounds, it does, it's about healing. And I think there's so much punishment, so much agony, so much expectation of so much. And so I just like that. It's a total reframe of like, yes, you're human. Of course this is going to happen. That's a great mentality to have. I think it's lacking so much.
Yeah. And to be expected and even welcomed, right? Because I mean, at least for myself, that's what I try to get clients to understand, that we, it's exactly what we need in order to continue to grow, to continue to dig deeper. Sometimes we heal. I've had clients come and, you know, they see, I've had clients come and they say, okay, well, when, you know, I this thing happened and I was able to process and feel through it and heal it. And then, you know, my ex texted me. And oh my God, I couldn't take that. And the emotions that came up there, and I just turned to food. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So this was another level of emotions that are coming up. And this was another. And so when we actually welcome that, seeing, okay, this is happening for me as well, and this is something for me to learn from and grow from, then, you know, it kind of takes the scariness away from it, I feel like.
So if someone is out here listening to you saying, okay, so how long was this whole process for you from like when you left college to where you're at now? Thinking, oh gosh, it sounds like it didn't take you that long. Like, how long did it actually take you to get from, say, when you left college to where you're at today?
Yeah, that took me a long time. It might not sound like a long time, but it took me a long time. But I also was trying a lot of different avenues to heal that, you know, now I'm like, oh, if I would have known this from the beginning, you know, like, oh man, I wish I would have maybe found this podcast from the very beginning. But when I started, I wasn't listening to podcasts, right? I wasn't doing more of the personal development stuff because, again, I thought it was more of an external thing. I think that was the biggest thing for me for years, even as I was going through nutrition, as I was going through health coaching, as I was going through, I wasn't doing the internal work. I was just thinking, oh, it's something outside of me. It's the food. It's my body. It's the, like, it's, food is my enemy. And so I was kind of attacking the food and attacking my body for so long without realizing that it's always been within, right? I just needed to go inside.
I love that too. Cause people will come in my office and say, okay, doc, give me the magic meal plan, or just tell me exactly what to eat or how much to exercise so that I'm better. And I'm like, no, that's not, I don't have that. That's not it. You know, so I just love that you said that because that's not it at all.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm still a nutritionist, but I haven't done a meal plan in forever because it's not, you know, and that can be useful for people 100%, but especially with certain conditions and certain things. But a lot of the women that I get that are just kind of yo-yo diet, it's more of like a self-worth thing, right? It's more of, it's so much more internal. So yeah. So we deal more with that piece instead of the exercise and the meal plans and the diet plans.
Right. Yeah. To your point. I mean, at some point there is the physiological need for sometimes like, you know, getting medically stable or things like that. But in regards to like actually getting to the point where you're recovered, there's no prescription. There's no like perfect way to eat, perfect way to exercise. That is not getting to where you're at or where I'm at this point.
Yeah. It's, and I've even noticed where that kind of, it backfires on people big times, especially with, I know for myself, I was like, I tried all the different diets and then I found, okay, I'm going to count my macros. I was getting better. I was into the whole Tony Robbins thing. And I was like doing my mindset work and I'm like, oh man, I'm so much better. I don't purge anymore. I, you know, I have more control over my food. It was all about control. Right. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to count my macros. That way I can lose a little bit of weight. And this is something where I can like include everything. I literally went psycho everything. Like I went back into, I got back into like some of the tendencies from with my eating disorder because it was, then it became, it's again, cause the mentality behind it is so like, okay, all or nothing. Right. I'm 1 gram of carbs over, screw it. Right. Like I'm just going to eat everything and then I'll start again tomorrow. And so, it was that all or nothing mindset. And again, even just finding a diet that was more flexible still like found a way to become really obsessive with it and apply that same kind of mentality and bring the eating disorder back that way. So.
Yeah. And I think that happens a lot and people just don't realize, you know, dieting doesn't work and it does bring back all of that sense of control. And that's exactly what happens. Oh gosh. I'm like one thing over the dam broke, here I go. It's like time to binge. And then I'll start all over tomorrow. It start the whole thing all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's people out there listening that know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, yes, that's exactly. And that's a lot of, you know, a lot of clients and stuff. Right? But so many people can resonate with that.
Right.
Because I have, you know, I'm going to start my diet Monday. So I'm going to get rid of all the bad foods that are in the house. And by getting rid, I mean, eat everything that's in the house. Right. It happens to a lot of, like, we laugh about it now, but it's so many people, that happens to so many.
It's called it like the Last Supper, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yes. So, where are you at today? Like, how's life? What's day-to-day looking like? More things.
So now as far as my relationship with food, you mean?
Yeah. And just like your general life, like things are different. Obviously you're in past college and.
Yeah, definitely past college. I am. So regarding my relationship with food, honestly, I never thought I'd be where I am today. Even my relationship with food and my relationship with myself and my body, it is a complete 180. Again, I mentioned before, I never thought I'd be where I am today. I now run my own academy where I run women through, you know, doing all of the internal work in order to heal their relationship with food, their body, to step into their power, to let go of all the, you know, again, it's like the unworthiness, it's really healing, from the inside out. And I have a baby now. So, I have a 5-month-old. Life looks like, I don't even have time anymore to think about food and body and all these different things. I was actually joking with my husband before, and I'm like, before I would go into the closet, and I was like, all this fight about like, oh man, what, you know, what to wear because nothing fits, or all worried about what looks good, what doesn't look good. Now I go into the closet and it's like, okay, I need the easiest thing to breastfeed. What shirt allows for it? Right. And now I'm like, now sometimes I'm stuck there and I'm like, okay, what allows easy breastfeeding? So things have changed big time. They have changed a lot. But life just looks like a lot more freedom. I feel like freedom from myself, freedom from my body, freedom from food, more freedom to think and be creative about the things that I love and that I want to create and the people that I want to help, and able to speak up so much more.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And I think that's a big thing, as you're saying, you've never thought you'd be here. And I can imagine people listening thinking, yeah, I don't think I'll ever be there either. Like, probably listening to both of us going, yeah, never. So for anyone hearing that, you know, hearing just what you said, is there anything you can say to them to help them kind of have that hope or think, okay, you absolutely can get to where we're at? Any kind of words of encouragement or hope for them?
Yeah, honestly. Well, first of all, I've been there. Thinking the same exact thing, thinking this is just who I am. Like, this is me. I'm going to diet my whole life and yo-yo up and down I still see my mom do it. Right. So we have so much example of people that continue to do the same things. And so, and even speaking of my mom, like, she looks at me now and she's like, who are you? Like, it's so different. Right. And honestly, I think what I would say to those people is just that there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong. Even, you know, if you're dealing with an eating disorder or anything like that, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to fix. We are so much love. We are so free. We are so much light. It's just a lot of conditioning, right? It's just a lot of fears and a lot of things that we just get to kind of peel back those layers. And so, I think that was the most powerful thing for me to understand, is that with this was all within me already. I was just holding myself back with a lot of different layers of conditioning and thought patterns and belief systems that that I got to really explore, get curious around, and just kind of peel off layer by layer and reveal the true highest version of myself, right?
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's been such a pleasure to have you on here. You are so like inspiring and energetic and wonderful. And congratulations on your baby.
Thank you.
How you glow when you talk about your baby. So.
Thank you so much.
They can't see you, but I'm looking at you and you're glowing. So
thank you so much. Thank you. It has been a pleasure as well. Thank you.
And you talked about your academy. So I don't know if people want to know more about you or find you or get in contact with you. Is there a place they can find you on social media or Instagram or anywhere?
Yeah. So I am on social media, Instagram, Facebook, all things as Things Andrea Says. And you can go on thingsandreasays.com or my academy is the Ditch the Skill Academy. So ditchtheskill.com as well.
Right. Don't worry if you didn't get that all down. I will have that on the show notes afterwards. So head on over to my website at behindthebitepodcast.com and all Andrea's information will be there. So great. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Thank you again. This is fantastic. So, all right. I heard your baby in the background. So sounds like there's some mommy business to attend to too. So that's what happens. Life is one big balancing act. So
yes, it is. It is. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, you can rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. You can also go to my website at behindthebitepodcast.com where you can get a free email course and start your journey to making peace with your struggles with food and your body. Until next time, to your health, everyone.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.